proposition tonight will be proposition number two that will read as follows. The scriptures teach that long hair is the only covering that Christian women must have while praying or prophesying. Affirmative speaker, William Mark Bailey. Denial speaker, Patrick T. Donahue. And at this time, we turn the floor over to Mark Bailey.
Brother Donahue, brother moderators, brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ, I consider it as a privilege to stand before you this evening to affirm what I believe to be true with all of my heart concerning the sign of authority that the Apostle Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It is very important this evening that we understand that tonight we're discussing the covering that Christian women are commanded to have. We are not discussing whether or not man is to be covered or not, and we're not discussing what man's covering really is. We're simply discussing the covering of Christian women. It is very important that we keep this in mind. Tonight, I asked you to watch Brother Donahue very carefully as we get deeper and deeper and deeper into this discussion. Due to the fact that he will not be able to answer my arguments, I predict that he would do one of several things. He will either digress off the issue at hand into other areas, or else he will make arguments that he does not believe nor practice, or thirdly, he will make arguments not based upon the scriptures, or number four, he will overlook my arguments and not answer them at all. Tonight, we want to keep our minds clearly focused on only one point, and that is, what do the scriptures teach? Not what does Mark Bailey believe and practice and teach, not what does Pat Donahue believe and practice, or what Brother Hutto believes and practice, or even what some other preaching brethren in this great audience that we have tonight as to what they may believe and practice. Tonight, we want to keep our minds focused on what do the scriptures teach. I'd like to see chart number one, please. Now, my proposition states the scriptures teach. And this is the reason that I stress tonight that we are going to keep our minds focused only on what do the scriptures teach. Now, last night, if you remember, for those of you that were with us, I begged Pat a number of times to please get up here and define his proposition. He simply would not do so. I told him that there were holes in his proposition, and I gave him questions after questions concerning it. I even gave him a chart on it. I said, now, I want you to tell us what you mean by these things, and he completely avoided it. He did not want you to know what he believes about his own proposition. Now, I want to tell you, Pat, this is only my second debate. I've only had one public debate before this one. But I can tell you for certain you are supposed to define your proposition, especially if someone has questions concerning it. Now, my proposition is clearly stated as the scriptures teach that long hair is the only covering that Christian woman must have while praying or prophesying. Now, let me define that. But my proposition is defined by this. By the scriptures, I mean the Word of God, consisting of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, I realize today that as Christians, we are under obligation to the New Testament. However, according to Paul's words in Romans 15 and verse 4, he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Therefore, we're going to refer to some of the Old Testament scriptures as well as proof. By the word teach, I mean to impart instruction or knowledge. Now, this may come as a command, as a statement, or as an example. Last night, I asked Brother Donahue in my very first question to please tell us the verses that would state the word artificial. He simply says, no, there are none in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, this could have come from, a command. He could have gone to a place that he gave a statement or a place that gave an example. But the fact is, he said, no, there were none. The best he could do is come up here in this number one, where he was supposed to write the verse that states artificial, and he listed 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5, and I challenge you to look in your Bibles and look into your scriptures and see if the word artificial is there. Then wonder in your own mind,
Think about it for a moment. Why would he write 1 Corinthians 11:5 in this circle to say that there is where he finds the word artificial when he knows that it's not there? Now, by the words that long hair, I refer to the Greek word kameo, which is defined by Thayer as to let the hair grow, indicating uncut hair. Now, please understand this if you for just a moment. When I speak of long hair, I'm not speaking long as in our sight or humanly speaking. I realize that people may have their hair down on their shoulders, and you go out to a Walmart somewhere and someone may come in about their pretty long hair. I'm not talking of long in that sense. I'm not talking about long in the sense that Brother Donahue mentioned last night, as the hair may go down to the bottom, as he would say. That's not my point. What I'm saying is that long hair refers to uncut hair because it means to let the hair grow. Let's understand, anything that we do to the hair that you're not letting it grow means that it's not, you're not letting it grow. Simply as that. Therefore, it's not long hair. By is the only, I mean the sole, the only covering mentioned or implied as being necessary for women today. By covering, I mean that which covers. That is the uncut hairs, the sole covering that Christian women must wear today. By the words that Christian women must have, I mean that Christian women are obligated to have upon their head as an ornament. Thayer would tell us that hair is an ornament. By the words while praying or prophesying, I mean at any time that these things are done, Christian women are obligated to have uncut hair. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that that praying or prophesying is restricted to that time. There are times that they have to be to wear the long hair other than praying or prophesying. But the point that's being made in my proposition is that when she is praying or prophesying, she must be covered. By the word praying, I mean that these words of prayer are offered to God. By the word prophesying, I accept the definition that Thayer gives when he says that it means to teach, refute, reprove, admonish, or to comfort others. This is a definition of my proposition. And if you have any misunderstandings about it, I'll be glad to respond to it a little later on. You can take that off. Tonight, my desire is to simply make this discussion just as plain and simple as we can possibly make it. I don't want you to be confused. Therefore, I'm not going to jump from here to yonder to somewhere else, as our brother did last night in his affirmative, in which he failed to affirm that the Scriptures teaches an artificial covering. Tonight, I'm going to make it so simple for you because I'm going to give you somewhat of a glorified chapter study. I challenge you tonight, open your Bibles before you, read along with me, and find out what the Scriptures actually teach. We will start with verse 3. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, Paul would say, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." In verse 3, we find that verse 3 is simply the foundation of everything that Paul has to say in verses 4 through 16. In other words, we need to understand that Paul is not actually talking about long hair, and certainly he is not talking about an artificial covering, because as Pat Donahue said last night, it's not even found, the word is not even found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The actual subject that Paul is writing about is that of headship. The Corinthians had violated the teachings of the Apostle Paul. You know, we find that God has always expected God to be first, followed by Jesus Christ, then man, and finally woman. This is his ladder of authority. Where the Corinthian women decided that they would not follow this, and they were showing their violation, and they were showing their rebellion by removing their God-given sign of authority. Notice verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now, this verse does not actually concern our discussion tonight, because my proposition does not deal with man, but only with woman. However, Pat and I may and probably will refer to verse 4 from time to time as a point of discussion or as a point of comparison. But for now, in order to stay closer with the proposition at hand, let's go to the very next verse, which is worded very similar, except as having reference to woman. In verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even a one as if she were shaven. Now in verses 4 and 5, Paul says that if man has his head covered, or if woman has her head uncovered, that they dishonor their heads. Now the point that we're discussing is not if women are to be covered. We all believe that she is. Pat believes that, and so do I. Yes, woman must be covered. However, tonight we're not discussing if she should be covered. We're discussing what is the covering that she is to be covered with. I want you to understand tonight that Pat and I both believe that there is a such thing as a piece of cloth called a veil. However, not in this particular verse, because Pat said last night that is, the word artificial is not found in 1 Corinthians 11, and I wholeheartedly agree with him. However, understand also that Pat and I both believe just as much that there is a covering mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and that covering is the word hair. As a matter of fact, no one could deny that. In my very first question to Pat tonight, I asked him, do the scriptures teach that long hair is a covering for Christian women today? If yes, please give the verse or verses that prove such. He says, yes. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15. Yes, the scriptures do teach that long hair is a covering. Now let's go a little further. In verses 4 and 5, Paul tells us that this covering is a covering that brings forth shame. Understand, Pat and I both believe that there is a covering in 1 Corinthians 11. At this time, let us understand what the covering is. The covering that Paul speaks of is a covering that brings forth dishonor if man wears it, and dishonor if woman fails to wear it. Now, the word dishonor that you will find in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 4 and 5, simply is defined as shame. Therefore, we ask the question tonight, what is it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that brings forth shame? Let us see chart number 2, please. Now, Pat, if you would, I would ask you to write down chart number 2 and respond to this chart. What constitutes the shame, Pat? In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 4, Paul says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth or shames his head. We all know that something brings forth shame. What is it? I could tell you my answer. Pat would try to tell you his answer. But we're not interested in what we would have to say. We want to know what the Apostle Paul says. Notice, something brings forth shame. What is it? Notice what Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11, 14. If a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Now notice, he says something for a man brings forth shame. Verse 14 says, if a man has long hair, it is a shame unto him. Pat, is long hair a covering? Let's raise it up. What constitutes the shame for a woman? After all, that's really what we're discussing. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5 says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth or shames her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. What is the covering that brings forth shame? Notice Paul's answer. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 6, if or since it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven. Now what is shorn or shaven? Of course, we all realize that he is talking about hair being shorn or shaven. He says something brings forth shame. What is it? Being shorn or shaven. Notice in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Now I want you to understand, this word glory is the very opposite of the word shame. He tells us here in verse 6 that that the shame is being shorn or shaven, that the glory, the very opposite of it, is having long hair. And that is exactly what I believe, and that's exactly what the scriptures are teaching. Pat, this is a difference between letting the scriptures teach and letting Pat Donahue teach. Now that we can see that Paul is speaking of hair, I call your attention to Paul's last statement in verse 5, where he says, being uncovered is even a one as if you're shaven. Now I ask the question, why? Why is being uncovered the same as being shaven? Is it because they both refer to sin? No. Why is being uncovered the same as being shaven? It's simply the idea that there is a relationship between the two. What is that relationship? The relationship between being uncovered and shaven is that they both refer to hair that has been shortened. Understand now, the question in dispute is not if it is sinful for a woman to be uncovered. The disagreement concerns how is the woman's head uncovered. Pat would tell you that it's by removing an artificial covering. At least he attempted to tell you that last night and to prove it, but he was not able to do so. But the point we wanted to know is, what do the scriptures say? What do the scriptures say? How is a woman uncovered? Of course, before knowing how that she is uncovered, we must first know what she is covered with. This can be and should be decided by the scriptures. As noticed in my argument number one, long hair is the object under consideration that brings forth shame. However, let us study the context a little bit closer. In doing this, we will find, and listen to this, Pat, we will find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that every time you find a woman referred to as being covered or uncovered, that the Apostle Paul always stresses hair in the same statement. And I think that's a very valid point and something that needs to be considered. Let's see the next chart, please, chart number 3. Now here, Pat, I'm going to show you what the context teach. It is true, and I want you to understand that my proposition called for the scriptures to teach. I'm going to let you find out what the scriptures teach in this context. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 5, notice it says, every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. Notice that Paul is there talking about her being uncovered, but then he goes right forward and says, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. What is shaven? Certainly, he's talking about hair. See, he talks about being covered, and then he talks about hair in the same context. Wouldn't Pat absolutely love it if he would go on to say a little bit further about being shaven or make a reference to something being artificial? But he can't find that. 1 Corinthians 11, 6a, if the woman be not covered, there Paul talks about this woman being in a not covered state. But then he goes on further to say, let her also be shorn. Pat, what is shorn? Isn't he referring to hair? See, again, he talks about it being not covered, then he talks about hair. 1 Corinthians 11, 6b. Raise it up, please. In this verse, he says, ill for sins, it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. There he gives the command, let this woman be covered. But notice he precedes that by saying it's a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven. He talks about being covered, and yet he turns right around and says, look, you're shorn or shaven. Or referring to shorn or shaven, referring to hair. What is shorn or shaven? 1 Corinthians 11, 13 and 15. And this is good. Notice, he says, judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman praying to God uncovered? He's talking about her being uncovered once again. And then he goes on forward to say, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have what? Long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is the glory to her, for her hair is given for a covering. Tonight we're discussing, what is this covering that Christian women are to have? Pat can say artificial if he wants to. He cannot produce a verse. But yet Paul says her hair is given for a covering. Pat, what would you want Paul to say more than he has already said in order for you to understand his teaching? Okay, let's go further. Now that we can see that the covering of 1 Corinthians 11 is long hair, we pose the question at this time. How does woman become uncovered? Her long hair is the covering, so therefore has she uncovered? You know, the idea of being covered or uncovered is not restricted only to the teachings of the New Testament. We know this because we can go to the Greek Old Testament and find that people were said to be uncovered as well. Therefore, let's go to this Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint. By doing this, we can find several points. Number one, we can find that the Greek form is the same form that you will find, that is katakalupto, as you will find in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 6. Number two, you will find that even the same English terminologies are the same. Number three, you will find that every time in the Greek Old Testament, Pat, get this, every time in the Greek Old Testament that you will find a person being uncovered, it always refers to hair that has been shortened. It never refers to an artificial covering. Every time you find it in the Greek Old Testament, it always refers to hair that has been shortened. Let's go on a little bit further now. How is the head uncovered? Let's see chart 4A, please. I ask the question again, how is the head uncovered? Notice, if you will, in Leviticus 10 and verse 6, it says, and Moses said unto Aaron, to Eleazar, and to Ithamar his son, uncover not your heads. Leviticus 21 and verse 10, and he that is a high priest among his brethren shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. Now notice here that he says, uncover not your heads. very same tone or very same language like the King James Version we use in 1 Corinthians 11, as it would say, uncover. But yet, I also want you to understand that's the same Greek term. Here he is talking about them being uncovered. Now, what does it mean to uncover not your head? Does it mean to take away an artificial covering? Well, let's find the definition. Justinian's Hebrew lexicon says it means to make naked, so especially by shaving. Pat, when someone is referred to as being shaven, what does that have reference to if it's not having reference to hair that is cut short? And now in Isaiah 47 and verse 2, we find that the King James Version would simply tell us, uncover thy locks. Today we might say more often, uncover thy hair. But the American Standard Version would say, remove thy veil. Or someone might be saying, well, why is he bringing that up? For after all, it seems like remove thy veil means to take something artificial off. Is that what it means? Absolutely not. Look on page 170 of this lexicon, Justinian's Hebrew lexicon. The words uncover and the word remove means to make naked, to uncover. How? By taking away the hair. That's how a person is covered, and that is how a person is uncovered. Let's go to verse 6, please, very hurriedly. We find in verse 6 that it says, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. In this verse, we find that Paul is speaking about being consistent. Yes, he is wanting these women to be consistent. In other words, if they're going to say that it's okay to cut their hair a little bit, he is simply saying, you go on further and you be shorn. That is, you cut your hair short. You know, the reason that it is inconsistent is because they both refer to hair that has been cut to some degree. The word covered here in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 6 is translated from this same Greek term that I mentioned earlier. That is the term katakalupto. And that word there simply means to completely cover. Not to simply cover. Last night, Pat talked about an idea about cut hair and how that it can cover and so on. No, it cannot. Not in the sense that the Apostle Paul is talking about, because the word katakalupto in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 6 is defined by the University of South Africa as to completely cover. Strong's Concordance, or Strong's Dictionary, defines it as to cover wholly. W.J. Hickey, in his Greek-English Lexicon of New Testament Words, defines this word katakalupto as to completely cover. If you have cut your hair, or if you cut your hair, it regardless of if it's still down to the knees, if your hair has been cut, then you still have, we might say, Pat might say, a type of a covering. But it's not a complete covering. And this is what the Apostle Paul is calling for. Simply by having complete hair, as nature would have it, or help you, is what Paul is teaching. Therefore, we need to understand that the Apostle Paul says you cannot be uncovered. Therefore, let her also be covered. In other words, let her keep or retain her long, natural hair. Let's go to verses 7 through 9. Let's notice chart number 5, please. In this chart, I ask the question, why? Verses 7 through 9, you'll find it's listed in this chart. That is, why man must not be covered. Why man, woman must be covered. That is, why man must not have long hair, why woman must have long hair. The reason concerning man is, as we find in verse 7, man is the image and glory of God. That's why he cannot have long hair. Verse 8, man is not of the woman. That's why he cannot have long hair. Verse 9, the man was not created for the woman. That is why he cannot have long hair. But dealing with woman, it says that woman must have long hair. She must be covered. Why? Because the woman is the glory of man. Verse 8, the woman is of the man. Verse 9, the woman is for the man. This is the reason. And I know that my good brother Pat does not believe it, but some people believe that it's because of the idea of custom. And they would even say that the covering or hair does not have to be worn at all because it was a custom. But this is not true, because these are the reasons that Paul gives as to why a woman must have long, uncut hair. Let's go to verse 10, please. Verse 10 says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Here we see that Paul is referring to the necessity of being covered due to her order of creation as spoken of in verses 7 through 9. Then he continues by saying that she ought, that is, she must have power on her head. Now this word power is woman's sign of subjection. Sometimes it's called sign of authority, depending on the way that you might read it. As a matter of fact, if you have a King James Version with a center column reference, if you'll look out beside power in the center column, you'll find that it refers to a sign of authority. You know, we find that there's a lot of authorities that show us that this power refers to hair. In reference to hair, W.E. Vine says on page 189, the word hair is found in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15. Notice, where the context shows that the covering provided in the long hair of the woman is as a veil, a sign of subjection to authority, as indicated in the of headship spoken of in verses 1 through 10. Notice that Vine is saying here that the hair is the covering that is spoken of in the context of verses 1 through 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In this dictionary also, W. Vine would refer to Revelation 9 and verse 8 to make a comparison to that of the hair. Revelation 9 and 8 simply says they had their hair as the hair of woman to show that the long hair is a sign of subjection. He says that long hair, the spirit being described as locust in Revelation 9 and 8, is perhaps indicative of their subjection to their satanic master. And then he concludes by saying, compare 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 10, to show that the hair is the sign of subjection. Nowhere does it refer to an artificial covering. In other words, just as the long hair of the spirit being was a sign of subjection to their master, the long hair of women is a sign of subjection to their head, which is their husband. As a point of interest, I think we should also note that this word power is used by the ancient writers. The word power is the Greek term exousia. And this particular term is used by ancient writers to refer to hair. For an example, we find that Callistratus twice uses exousia, that is the word power, as defined as meaning abundance of hair, resembling the aorist expression, a power of hair. So therefore, when you read 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 10, it says that she must have power on her head. That is, she must have this abundance of hair on her head. Bloomfield was quote the commentators who would regard the word power, or exousia, as the name of a female ornament for the head formed of braids of hair set with jewels. Another interesting point is that figuratively speaking, the word long hair would refer to power, while cut hair would refer to destruction. For an example, in Isaiah 7 verse 20. Let's go to verses 11 and 12. Here we find that Paul would say, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Now we need to understand that this passage is simply showing us that man and woman is dependent upon each other, and they both are dependent upon God. Now let's go to verses 13 through 15. Let's see the next chart, please. Chart number 6. Pat, notice here, I've referred to this before. I want you to listen to it this time. Here we find in this particular chart, in verse 13, Paul will give a question. Then in verses 14 and 15, he gives an answer. Notice the question. He says, judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Now notice the very last thing, the next thing that he says to woman. The question is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? The answer came back. If a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. How can anyone deny that? That hair is given her for a covering. Pat said last night that 1 Corinthians 11 does not specifically use the word artificial, but yet we have repeatedly shown you that in this passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16, you can find it found that long hair is found about five times. The conclusion is that contextually, Paul is defining the covering mentioned in verse 13 only as long hair. Let's see chart number 7, please. We need to go a little bit further into this. I want you to understand tonight that the positions that are being challenged both last night and the one tonight my position tonight is that hair is given for a covering. Pat will let you know. No, that's not his view. His view is hair is given for the only covering. It is the only covering because the way I know that is because 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15 says her hair is given for a covering. I asked Pat for that verse or the lexicon that would translate or that would define the word as artificial, and the only thing he could come up with was 1 Corinthians 11 and 5, and you know that the word artificial is not found there. I submit to you tonight The scriptures teach that long hair is the only covering that Christian women must have while praying or prophesying, because as we have seen in this verse-by-verse study, the passage teaches no other covering. And I thank you.